This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Everybody, it's good to see you. It's good to have you here for the first of the new year. Thank you, Jonathan. As we get started, we have people online. We know it's a holiday weekend. A lot of people are traveling, so we always like to do this. Let's just say Happy New Year to everybody online, okay? So we're going to yell it in here and kind of the COVID way, and then they'll hear us on that one too. So on the count of three, Happy New Year. You guys ready? One, two, three. Happy New Year. Thank you. I feel better already. It's good to have you guys here. Good to see you. And we're glad to have Luke here today. If you didn't get a chance to say hello to him this morning, when he, at the end of the service, you get a chance. We have a group that's gone to Passion, the conference for people under 25. I guess after 25, you can't go anymore. So that's why we have people not there. But we have a group that has gone, including Carson, our worship leader. So he is gone today. And Luke has been our worship leader, and he came back today. So we're really glad for that. And really glad that you guys are here today. If you can, as you get started today, we're going to put a QR code. We're going to ask you to do something today. We've been doing it for about a month or so, and we're just checking in for our services. So if you have the app, it's the easiest way. You just go to the app, go to Worship Experience, click on that, and then there's a place to do the Connect card. Just say, hey, I'm here. If you don't have the app, you can go ahead and get your phones out, and then just take a picture of the QR code. You will find just some place to take notes, things like that. Also a place to check in, fill out the Connect card. And a big thing we wanted you to know for 2022, which is weird to say, 2022, if you don't have the newsletter, if you're not getting our weekly newsletter, just put in your email and we will get that to you, okay? So on the card. So we're just asking you to check in, just seeing who is the church through COVID, who are our regular tenders, and how does it all fit? So we are appreciating you doing that for the last month or so. We'll continue it through January and into February as we start a new year. It is good to start a new year. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but Christmas is not quite over. You can tell the church is still decorated. I love to extend it a little bit further. For me, I took down the tree yesterday. How many of you got your tree down? Most of you. Anybody with a tree still up? All right. How many plan on leaving it up all year? And that way you don't have to do it next year. All right. So this is the easiest way. That way you celebrate the birth of Jesus every day. And that's not a bad thing. One of the things I love about Christmas now, and I've enjoyed everything about Christmas, but I enjoy getting gift cards. I don't know about you guys, a lot of gift cards now, because, and I mentioned this in a newsletter article, gift cards are that gift that keeps on giving, right? So if you got a gift card, I've spent part of one of mine, and I'm going to spend some more. I kind of, you know, checked everything out, searched some stuff out. But one of the things I really love is the restaurant gift cards. You know what I'm talking about? So it's like later on in the year when we're kind of like too busy or we just need a chance to get away, we will use the restaurant gift card and we'll be able to take people and build memories, right? So wherever that day is when we'll spend one of them, we will just go back and think about who gave it to us. We'll enjoy a meal together. We'll build relationships and memories, and Christmas will keep going. One year for my parents' 50th anniversary, we gave them 12 envelopes with a gift card for each month. And so each month on the first day of the month, they would open it up and there would be like a surprise, like, you know, okay, continue your anniversary one more month. And they thoroughly enjoyed that, just spent a year doing that. So if you steal that idea, that's great. You know, just don't do it for yourself. Give it to somebody else. But it is a way to extend Christmas, to give those gift cards. And one of the things we're doing, and I know some of us are ready to move on, we are continuing our series called Journey to the Manger. There was one more thing that we had to cover, one more thing that we had left out that extended the original Christmas up to 2 years. And so we want to get that in. It might be part of your Christmas already. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 2. You're going to see a lot of times this is read at Christmas. I'm going to show you today why it really isn't the Christmas birth story. It's the extended Christmas story. So Matthew chapter 2, go ahead and turn there. We looked at Matthew a few weeks ago. Just know this. Matthew was an outcast, real name Levi, and Jesus said, follow me, and he left everything to follow Jesus, and he spent 3 years with him, and during that time, he became convinced that Jesus was more than a teacher, more than just a good person, more than just a philosopher, that Jesus was a son of God, and he was someone worth giving your entire life to. Matthew was so convinced of this that he wrote the book Matthew to his fellow Jews because he wanted them to be convinced. just like he wants us to be convinced of who Jesus is and what he's about. Now, we've looked at Luke the last couple of weeks. Luke focuses on Jesus, the Savior. Matthew is going to focus on a different aspect of who Jesus is. And today, I hope we walk out of here going, I understand Jesus that way. And if I understand Jesus that way, then it means something for my life. And it means something for how I'm supposed to live. Matthew chapter 2 is all about choices. It's all about choices in our life, some choices different people made and how it affected their life and how if we make the same choices today, it'll affect our lives. So Matthew chapter 2, we're diving in. I've got one more thing. We did take our scene down, our manger scene, but you know who these guys are, right? Anybody else have willow tree in your house? Okay, this is Stacy's. If I break these, I'm going to have to come live with somebody else, okay? So I'm going to put these out. Just keep these guys in mind. You probably have something similar in your house. And just kind of focus on them because this is their story. This is about who they were and the choices they made and how it affects us. So Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12 is we're going to read. I'm going to kind of read through it. We're going to do expository today. We're going to look at the verses, break them down, talk about what it means. And this is how it starts. Notice how it starts. It says, now after Jesus was born. Again, we're going to look probably up to 2 years later. After he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And let's kind of stop there just to introduce the people that Matthew wants us to know about. And he's going to contrast these people. First of all, we have Herod the Great. You probably have heard of Herod the Great. He was born about 73 BC. His parents were converts to Judaism, okay? His grandfather and father were both very influential people in Judea. They were politicians. They learned how to get along. And so they became Jews, even though they were of Arabic descent and of descent from Esau's tribe. They became Jews because they wanted to fit in, part of society, just like some people call themselves Christians today, even though they don't really follow Jesus. They're just culturally Christians. Herod's family were culturally Jewish. So they could rise up in society, so they could get jobs, they could influence people. And when Herod was a young person, his dad appointed him governor of Judea. And then he spent some time learning some things about politics. This is what he learned. The way ahead is by bribery. He was really good at bribery. He was really good at getting to know important people and kind of working his way into their lives. He was really good about telling people one thing and then doing another. He was exceptionally good about that. When the Romans came along, he became friends with the Roman leaders, and so much so that they appointed him king over Judea, which is the area around Jerusalem. So he became king, and this is where he learned how to be Herod the Great. He was a builder. He built amphitheaters. He built roads. He built aqueducts. He built the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem because he wanted the Jews to like him. He wanted to be liked. He wanted to be popular. He thought the best way into their hearts is to rebuild the temple. And he was pretty ruthless, though. One of the things we know about Herod is he had 10 wives, and we are not recommending that to anybody, okay? He had 14 children who survived, and what he did with his boys, 10 of the 14 were boys, he put them against each other and wanted to see who would rise up out of this group to become a leader. And of his 10 wives, he had one that was his favorite. And history tells us, and this is non-biblical sources, that she was beautiful. She was a Jewish princess. She was descended of priests and kings. She had two boys, and they were the heir apparents. They were the ones that he was going to raise up to be next. But Herod was jealous. And she was so beautiful, she was capturing the attention of some of the Roman leaders, so he had her killed. And then he had her brother killed and her grandfather killed. And then his two sons from her had gone to Rome to be raised up, be taught how to be politicians. He brought charges against them in Rome. They had him executed. When you hear Herod the Great, be careful of the words the great. Because inside, he was ruthless and he was cruel. He had another son that he named after his own father. He had him killed too because he was becoming popular. And people were starting to look to him for influence. And so at the time that Herod's in this story, right, the time of the birth of Jesus, a little bit afterwards, Herod's is old. He's older. He's got some mental illness problems we know from history. He's got some physical problems, but he never once took his foot off the pedal to be ruthless. That was the king. Put your feet in the shoes or the sandals of the people of the time and go, that's their picture of a king. And then here come these wise men, right? And we know then this is kind of like there's three of them. Only because they were three gifts, there could have been dozens of them. These guys were called Magi. They were from Babylon. And they studied history, and they studied the stars. And they probably had some understanding of the Jewish faith because the Jews had been exiled to Babylon. And so they knew something was going on, and they came to Jerusalem on purpose. Next verse tells us why. They came and they asked, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. They came looking for a king. Now this journey from Babylon to Jerusalem could take 6 months to 2 years. Depends on how far they traveled each day, how fast they were traveling, all those things. It was not easy like today where we could say, put it in your GPS, it tells you exactly what time to be there. This was a hard journey. And they came looking for a king. And why would you come looking for a king? Why would you do that? Especially if he was king of the Jews and not your king. Why would you travel all that way? What would drive you? If it was you, would you go? Or would you stay home and watch TV? No, let's put on the football game or something. They traveled. And there's one reason it tells us. Do you see the reason? There was a star. There was a star. And when they saw a star come up, they said, this is out of the ordinary. God is involved in this story. God is doing something. God raised the star. And so we know that God's behind this. And we'll do anything to be where God's at work. We'll travel as far as we need to go. We'll take whatever risk we have to take. But if God is in this, we want to see it. I love their heart. I mean, think about it. If God's in something, don't you want to be there? I mean, our ordinary everyday lives are kind of just like, just move, right? One day after another. Especially with COVID, we're stuck inside all the time. It's hard to get out. It's hard to do something. And we long for something different. And these guys are going, there's a star. And we want to go see what God is doing. Let's go. Because we've come to worship him. But then it says, Herod heard this and he was troubled and the whole city was troubled. Interesting reaction to what God's doing, right? Why? Why are they troubled? Do you ever think about this? You ever break down the story? Why are they concerned? Here's my guess. When Herod was born, there was no star. When his 10 sons were born, there were no stars. There was no stars when Pilate, who became the governor over the Roman governor over the area, there was no star when he was born. There was no star when Augustus Caesar was born. They're troubled because going, God's doing something, and we're not sure we're part of it. We're not sure what God is doing is in our best interest. Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever kind of said, okay, God, I have a plan for my life, and I want it to go this way, and I want to do these things, and here's my dream. Here, God, please bless it. Because when we do that, it's kind of like saying, God, you're like Santa Claus. Here's my stuff. We want what we want. The Magi said, we want to figure out what God is doing, and we want to join him there. Herod and the people of Jerusalem are going, we are already good here. We're a little bit troubled that God might be used to doing something we don't like. And they were troubled. And they were afraid. Because we're not doing what God wants us to do. And I think that's two approaches to life, right? One is saying we want to go worship God. We want to do what he wants us to do. We want to be where he is because God is this huge, huge being, and we want to discover him, and other people are going, no, I'm a little afraid of that because it doesn't fit in what I want to do. The Magi traveled a long way to see this king. So what did they do? Well, what happened next? It says that Herod assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them, where the Christ was to be born. And we talked about this before. The Magi go, where's the king? Herod knew something a little deeper. He knew something a little deeper. He goes, where's the Christ? We've talked about that before. Christ is the Greek word, anointed one. Messiah is the Hebrew word, which means anointed one. It means the king, not a king, but the King of Kings, the one who will rule over all kings, the Lord of Lords, the one-time king who will always rule, whose kingdom will never end. Where is that king going to be born? Herod knew about it. He knew just enough to know there's a king going to be coming who is greater than I am. So he asked the scribes, he asked them, where? And the scribes and the priests come back and said, let me tell you where. We know from Scripture this. In Bethlehem for Judea is for written by the prophet Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. That's Micah. That's where. Then they add something from Ezekiel that's really fascinating. He says this, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The scribes and the chief priests smashed two verses together and said, look, when the king comes, he'll be a shepherd king. He's going to be a king that takes care of his people. And here's the difference. Herod took care of himself. Herod pleased people so they would please him. The shepherd king, Jesus, is going to come into the world, and he's all about the people. See, that's what a shepherd does, right? A shepherd takes care of the people. A shepherd feeds the people. A shepherd protects the people. A shepherd leads them to where they need to go. A shepherd who establishes laws that protect the people, right? What were the two biggest laws that the shepherd king gave us? Love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Herod, the king, had two basic laws. Love me and do what I tell you to do. The shepherd king was different. His kingdom was upside down. It still is upside down, right? He's saying, love your enemies. Herod said, get rid of your enemies. The shepherd king would come along and say, do good to those who persecute you. Herod would say, kill them. The shepherd king would come in and say, look, when you're in a fight, turn the other cheek. Herod the king would come and say, when you're in a fight, hit them harder. Upside down kingdom. The shepherd king comes in and says, look, I am here for you, and I will lay down my life for you. Herod the king came along and said, you lay down your life for me. The Magi came looking for a king, right? We're looking for a king. And they have two kings to choose from. Here's Herod the king, and here's the baby who's a king. When Jesus came into the world, he is the King of Kings. But he said, the kind of king I'm going to be is a shepherd king. I'm here to love you. I'm here to call you to holiness and righteousness. I'm here to call you to a better life, to follow the rules that I have because it's best for you. The shepherd king came and he says, my kingdom will never end. It's extended forever and ever. That's who the Magi came to see. That's who the Magi came to worship, the shepherd king. When you think about what you want Jesus to be, because we all do this, right? Don't we all kind of make up Jesus in our own mind? Like, I think Jesus is this way, I think Jesus is that way. The scriptures tell us something really important. Jesus is the shepherd king whose kingdom will never end, and we are called to follow him. The story continues. After he read that scripture, after he heard that, it says, Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He goes, look, I just want to know from you guys. Let's get everybody else out of the room. When? Because he wants to figure out how to deal with the shepherd king. And he did this. He sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. I too will come and worship him. See, Herod was really good about telling people what they wanted to hear. And this is what he told them. Go and search diligently for the child. Bethlehem is 5.4 miles from Jerusalem. It's an easy 2-hour walk for most of us, right? 5.4 miles. Herod was that close to the Savior of the world. And what does he do? He tells them, you go. You go and search. I'm not going. You go and find him. You go and seek him out. And some of the best advice I think Herod could have given him, except he should have gone himself, right? 5.4 miles separated Herod from visiting the king of the universe. And he goes, I'm too busy to go. You go. You go and search. And that's one of the biggest choices we get in life, isn't it? To be able to say, am I going to be the one that searches for the king? Am I going to be the one that hits the road and go, God, I know you're out there. I know you have a will for my life. I'm going to go find it. I want to discover it. 2022 is a big year, right? We're all hoping for something better than 2021. And as Luke prayed, some of you may be on a spiritual high. Other people are like worn out from this year of dealing with COVID and just life in general. But what if we all said we want to be like the Magi and we're going to go search diligently for this child? We're going to go find him because we want to know him and know him every day of our life. Herod had a choice. I can go or I can stay. So he said to them, you go. You go and search. Next verse, what did they do? After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. The star came back. God was leading them. And they went and they followed the star because God was still at work. And it rested over the place where the child was. Again, notice the word child and not baby. Probably a 2-year-old. And they come to the place. And the next verse says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy because they are excited. We get to see the king. And it goes on and says, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, which are the traveling gifts. This was like currency you could use anywhere. So we talked about these gifts before, how some people say they represent the burial of Jesus and the gifts to a king, and that may be true, but just know this, the wise men carried this so they could go from place to place and survive, and they gave it to Jesus and said, we want you to have this. And I love what they did. They fell down and worshiped him. Falling down is what you do for a king. Worship him is what you do for God. And that was the choice they made, because when they saw the king, they go, what can we do? The thing I love about the reaction is that's what we do when we encounter the king, right? When you encounter the king of the universe, the shepherd king, go, I love this king. I want my life to go to this king. Every day I want to say, what do you want me to do? And who do you want me to be? And how do you want me to spend your resources? And who do you want me to talk to today? And how do you want me to approach life? This is what it means to be in the kingdom of God. It's interesting that the contrast between the two kingdoms. Herod was appointed king. And how did he become your king? The instant you stepped in his kingdom. Right? He's your king. If you step out of his kingdom, he's not your king anymore. But when you stepped over the line, wherever the boundary was, he was your king. And whatever he said went. If you left his area, went to somebody else, that was somebody else's kingdom, they were your king. How about the kingdom of God? Jesus' favorite message, the good news of the kingdom. How do you get in there? You say to the king, I surrender. You say to the king, I want you to rule my life. You say to the king, I submit to you. You walk into the kingdom by invitation. The shepherd king cries out to us, said, come, follow me. Come be in my kingdom. Come live with me. He invites us in. And that's the big difference between the two kingdoms. One forces it, the other invites. And in 2022, one of the things I want us to kind of think about as we look at the year ahead is go, are we going to say to the king, you're in charge. You're my king. You're the one I want to follow. He calls us. He invites us in. He says, come be part of my life. This passage ends this way. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They went back. They had finished what they had been called to do. And their life went on, but it was forever different because they saw the King of Kings. And the question I have today for you is this. Do you know that King of Kings? Do you know that Shepherd King? Is he your king? Or do we need to kind of stop and go, okay, Jesus, I haven't let you be king. I kind of want to be king of my own life. I want to kind of make my own rules. I want to do my own thing. I want to live my own life. Maybe today is that day where we stop and go, Jesus, I want to see you, and I want you to be my king because you are the king, and I want you to be king of my life. We're going to stop and pray now. We're just going to ask God just kind of bless our time. Then we're going to go to a time of communion, a time of surrender to this king, the shepherd king. And I want us to just kind of stop and let God examine our life and say, God, where are we with you? Are we following you? Are we kind of just culturally Christians? Are we just kind of doing our own thing and just kind of acknowledge Jesus at certain times? Or is he really the Lord of our lives? Are we like the Magi, willing to take whatever it took to go find Jesus? Let's pray. Father God, in this time, we just recognize you as the King of the universe. And because you're King, we're called to follow and to obey and to live a life that's honoring you. And as we do that, you promise to be our king and to take care of us, provide for us. The Shepherd King leads us to places of rest and healing. Father, today I pray for anyone that's just dealing with COVID. I know there's a ton of people in our church that's dealing with that or people they love. We pray for healing. We pray for protection. We pray for safety. As Shepherd King, just bring us under your control. Bring us into your kingdom where it's safe, where you're going to be with us. And Father God, I pray for each one of us as we make our choices day to day throughout this year. Help us make the same choice the wise men took. Just to go, follow the star, look for Jesus, and when we find him, rest and worship and bow down and acknowledge and surrender and submit. And we pray this in his name. Amen.